ప్రేమస్వరూపులారా,
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విద్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashanti Nilayam and happy greetings on this lovely Thursday. Today is February 15, 2018. The Shivratri celebrations just concluded. I am Team Ready Sai Bishu. Everyone is slowly recouping from the blissful tiredness of the night-long Akhanda Bhajan. Shiva inspires us to shake our slumber, isn't it? Shiva inspires us to stretch ourselves a little more for our serenity. Shiva inspires us to stretch for something higher. We all the time stretch for all our worldly pursuits, isn't it? Be to get a promotion, to make a little more profit, to impress our loved one a little more. All the time we are busy stretching ourselves a little, but we are doing it for the world. But this is one occasion when Shiva is inspiring us to strain ourselves a little more, to do something which will profit our soul, to do something where our mind will get a promotion, to do something which wherein we can impress our own self a little more. And Shivratri is such a beautiful endeavor, a beautiful opportunity which goads us to make this effort, isn't it? And look at how the Lord did it and continues to do through his own example. If you look at Bhagwan's life, look at the way Swami stretched himself every Shivratri, especially in the years he did the Lingodvam, how much pain he went through to give us joy, to let us know that we should never underestimate the power that is there beside us, with us, in us. How much he endured so that we will feel motivated to leave aside our mundane things, our mundane goals, and at least for some time seriously think about that for which we have truly come to this planet. The timelessness of time is Shiva. The expansiveness of space is Shiva. The momentum of motion is Shiva. The stability of silence is Shiva. The serenity within us is Shiva. The symphony around us is Shiva. The Himalayan humility of the divine is Shiva. The harmony of the cosmos is Shiva. Every Shivratri is a cosmic event to remind us of our cosmic responsibilities and our cosmic purpose. Ask everyone how was Shivratri who spent that night thinking about Shiva, and they will tell you it was lovely, it was beautiful, it was blissful. We are so happy just chanting the name. We are so happy to be in the bhajans. We are so happy singing along with so many of us, with so much of energy, so much of gusto. We are so happy that we are lost. And when we are lost in this endeavor, we find ourselves. We find the bliss in ourselves. Our bodies might be tired, might be weak, but our spirit is on a high. We are in that bliss which energizes us. We don't need anyone to talk to us to feel blissful. We don't need anyone else to fill any incompleteness within. We are so complete with ourselves. We are just happy being ourselves. We are happy. We don't need anything outside of us to make us happy. And how lovely life will be if we can always be like this, isn't it? If I can be happy just with ourselves all the time, if you're not looking for something or someone outside of us to make us happy, if you're not seeking someone or if you're not waiting for something to happen to make us feel happy, if we exist and so we are happy. I know this is not so easy in the real practical world. And this is what, in fact, we have been discussing in the last few episodes of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. If you are following this program, about 3 weeks ago, we started this discussion on how to deal with loneliness. And I shared the news item wherein the British Prime Minister, Theresa May, has launched a new ministry called the Ministry of Loneliness. And this sounded so strange to me, and that is when I did further fact-finding and found that nearly 9 million people out of 65 million in the United Kingdom are suffering from loneliness, and this is a concern for the government. Nearly 15% of the population is sad and depressed, and this is leading to many health hazards. And this has now become a health epidemic. Because once you are lonely, that's it. All the infections want to give you company. You become an easy target for a host of diseases, host of heart ailments, neurological disorders. It is worse than smoking 15 cigarettes per day. This is what a study in the United States has concluded. The government has realized in the US that the detrimental effects of loneliness are far severe than obesity. And that is the reason why the world is waking up to this problem. I also shared how in the US, which is supposed to be a country which enjoys a high standard of living, nearly 45% of the people above 45 years of age are feeling emotionally isolated in supposedly the most developed country in the world. And when you come to think of it, this is an age where you can connect with anyone, any part of the world in a millisecond. We are more connected than ever before in the history of human civilization. At the same time, ironically, we are more emotionally isolated than ever before in the history of human civilization. That is the tragedy of our times, which the British Prime Minister says is the sad reality of the modern times. And so this led me to some thinking, and that's how we started this program. We called it the Solo Program, Loneliness to Solitude, our journey from loneliness to solitude. And I shared a 4-hour approach on how to overcome this problem. And I talked about the first hour, realize where the source of happiness truly is. We have been looking for happiness in the wrong place all the time. Even most of the government programs which are designed now to help people with loneliness, I'm sorry to say, but this is what I feel. They are focused on only the symptoms of the problem. They're not looking at the root of the problem, and I'm afraid how much of that will really help. Because if we are all the time only looking for technology to solve our problems, we will only be tricked by technology again and again, and we will trip and fall and fall more and fall again and fall multiple times, but we will not find solutions to the problems. We don't need more understanding and utilization of technology to solve the problems of the world today, especially the problems that have to do with heart. We need more understanding and utilization of our own self, our true self, to solve the problems that we are facing in the modern times. All the problems are happening because we are distancing ourselves from our true self. The solutions lie in actually not looking outside. The solutions lie in looking inside. All the problems are created by the mind, but the solutions are not there in the mind. Solutions are there in the heart, in the spiritual heart. So we talked about it in some detail, and I shared some practical tips too on how to deal with this in the first part of this program. The other day, I was talking to Mr. Raj Srivatsan, an experienced corporate and securities attorney in the US, and Mr. Raj shared his perspective on loneliness and how he views this can be dealt with, how he views what is the root of this problem. And so he was also echoing his views on this first hour, realizing where the source of our happiness is. So let me play for you a short clip of what he said, and then we'll move on in this program. We'll move on to the other hours that we have discussed, that I mentioned briefly before, but today we'll go into some more detail. So here is Mr. Raj Srivatsan and his views on loneliness.
So loneliness can gravitate into depression. Now you can be married and you can be lonely. Hmm. You can be married and you can be depressed. Hmm. Loneliness can develop into depression, yes, if it's not addressed.
Yes.
And loneliness can be addressed not by a doctor but by the individual.
Yes.
But depression has to be addressed by a doctor, not the individual. Hmm. Because then it goes out of your hand, and then medication is required. Now all of these are because people are searching.
Yes.
And they don't know what they're searching for. Mm. They're searching for acceptance and acknowledgement, yes, from peers, from society.
Yes.
That's the wrong thing to get acceptance from.
Yes.
You've got to be looking for self-acceptance.
Yes.
So I think if Swami would permit me, I think I need to first put in before self-inquiry a self-acceptance. So self-acceptance of the process of self-inquiry and then move on to the six stages.
Yes.
So I played for you the detailed conversation with Mr. Raj Srivastan in the previous episode of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside, and he talks about all these steps, the S steps, and it starts with self-acceptance, as you mentioned, and the six strategies that he talks about, if you have heard the previous episode, is the self-inquiry, self-knowledge, and then go on to self-confidence, self-satisfaction, self-sacrifice, self-realization. So that is what we discussed about in the last episode. But to put it simply, we have to depend not on our little self, not on all our on our ego self, which is constantly looking out for someone or somebody or something outside of us to make us happy. We have to practice to look inside of us. We have to see how, without even anyone being with us or anything happening outside of us, we will be happy. Because if we discover the secret of this, then we will never ever feel lonely in our lives. What is all the time happening is we always wait for something that is external, an external stimuli to give us that moment of ecstasy. And that is where our folly lies. Once we realize this, then all we have to do is just look at within. And that moment, that one moment of inwardness will make us feel so empowered that we will begin to smile. And once we smile, then we will see how the whole world smiles back at us. That is what we have to realize. That is the process of realization. I know it takes time. It doesn't happen in a day. But this is something that we got to do. And we discussed about how we can go about it in a disciplined manner. How we can go about it in a step-by-step manner. How we can make little changes in our lives. In the first episode of this program, this solo program, if you have heard, for over an hour, we've shared certain tips, practical tips about how to start this process of realization of the joy within. And then we move on. In the second part of this program, we moved on to the second hour, and that was rediscover. Rediscover what? Rediscover who your true friend is. And this is a journey that everyone makes and everyone has to make. There is no one that who can escape it. We have to discover who our true friend is. Who is that who will be with us all the time, who was with us all the time, and who is with us all the time, and who will be with us all the time. And once we have befriended him, then there is no chance of we feeling lonely again in our lives. Then there will never be a time when we are feeling empty within. There will never be a time when we feel there is no company. There will never be a time when we feel there is no joy because I don't have someone or something in my life, because I have someone who is all the time there with me, and he has the treasure house of all the happiness in the world. Let me play for you a short clip of Mr. Raj Srivastan again. Here he shares how he has personally benefited from this process of rediscovering his true friend.
So that God consciousness and God as my companion developed much later in 2008 onwards. And today it's in every fabric of my day and night. Every fabric. From the moment I wake up to the moment I sleep. Swami, for me, he is everything. He has woven the entire day's seconds and minutes and hours into me. With himself as the backdrop. So there is no escaping that for me, and I don't want to escape from that at all. And he has rewarded me numerous times with wonderful visions and dreams. And in fact, in one, I think I did mention briefly in one of the interviews that we had earlier, he appeared and he said, always stay close to me.
Oh.
Yes. And he gave me Pad Namaskars, four or five of them, full stretch Pad Namaskars, and materialized a ring with the words on it, always stay close to me. And
Oh,
he
wow.
read it out to me. So it is rewarding and helping me to recognize that my journey of self-inquiry, self-knowledge, self-confidence, and self-sacrifice, and that self-satisfaction point has been reached. So still a long way to go.
Now you know that you're not in this journey alone. You're a journey with, actually with the self.
With the self, yes. Journey, yes, exactly. From the small self to the big self.
Along with the big self.
Along with the big self. Along with the one.
Yeah,
and
the one, yeah.
That has completely changed my perspective in life. And I have been through some very rough situations. Earlier this year, I was almost held in contempt by a judge and almost incarcerated myself. Because I tried to help a pregnant woman who was a drug addict, who was pregnant in the final stage of her pregnancy, and she was going to deliver a baby. And for me, these are moments when Swami provides me opportunities to test my faith and to also stay grounded in Him. And as I just want to share my journey with God, every morning begins with me praying to Him, saying, whatever I do is just acting as an instrument. And whatever I think, say, do, intend, or feel during the day has to be grounded in Satya, Dharma, Shanti, Prema, Ahimsa. Duty, domination, devotion, discipline, patience, purity, perseverance, Tyaga, Karuna. And this is exactly what I ask for. And in Shama. And that any time I am interacting and communicating with anybody, it has to be through His message. Always. So I never get angry. I never retort in an aggressive manner. And I'm constantly conscious of what I have to say and whether Swami will approve of it. And leave it to Him. What ultimately happened was, though that particular judge went out of his way to try and put me in trouble, everything just fizzled out. And everybody supported me. From the Attorney General's office to all of my colleagues to everybody, the police, everyone supported me, and that matter just fizzled out.
Wow.
That is the expression of the divine when you practice the message of the divine.
Yeah.
So that is a real life example.
You are having the most powerful person of the universe as your friend.
Yes. And I'm very grateful for that because it is an extraordinary gift. It's a gift to be nurtured, worshipped. It's a gift to be recognized every moment of the day. In fact, there is a bhajan which I love to sing.
Please.
Every bhajan session when I get in a, it goes like this. Every moment of my life, please be with me.
Yes.
In every single act of mine, be Thou my guide. Yes. And then Baba Sai Baba. Baba. When I slip, when I fall, lend me your hand. And then I change the next line.
Okay.
I changed it. Because I don't believe in the next line.
Okay.
So I change and I say, before I slip.
Okay.
Before I stray in any way, hold me back.
Okay.
The original line was, when I stray far away.
Yeah, when I stray
so
far away.
So I tell my Sai devotees, friends, I said, if you already strayed far away, you're gone.
When I stray far away, bring me back again. But you don't want to even go far away.
That's right. So
before I stray far away.
Now, here's the self-inquiry process. I inquired, are those words meaningful really from a spiritual standpoint or not? Just by repeating what somebody else has written is not going to help you.
When I slip, when I fall. Before I slip, before I fall.
Yes, but I didn't want to change it to that
I can understand.
When I slip, it happens.
Yeah.
But before I stray, in any way, anyway, mind, that's why I pray every morning, please guide my thoughts, words, deeds, intentions and feelings. Even my intentions and feelings. If I get a joy out of somebody's suffering, that also should not happen. So it is trying to structure my psychographics to Swami's message and trying to express that message in my daily activities and communications with everybody. And it has become so much a part of me that when I go to work, I sing that bhajan. And also, you know, why fear when I'm here?
Oh, yes.
That's such a wonderful bhajan.
Yes.
And tears of joy just stream down when I sing that because it is like my companion is sitting right next to me and I'm becoming emotional as I was talking now. When I drive to work, that's how I feel, you know. That is the real infusion of the divine in the self. So when you have this gift, nothing in this planet is going to be challenging.
Yes.
there will be scary moments. Mm. But the moment you realize that it is Maya, then you're not overwhelmed by it.
Yes.
And there have been many challenges, and there are still challenges. But challenges, like Mother Kunti said, constantly give me challenges, so I'm constantly holding on to your feet.
Yeah. Right. Yes. Wow, wonderful. So that was Mr. Raj Sivasan, and sharing how he has befriended Bhagwan and how that has helped him to come out of situations so victoriously all the time. In fact, that's a very beautiful phrase, isn't it? Swami himself telling him, stay close to me. Wow. I think if we can all the time tell Bhagwan, stay close, Swami, stay close to me, Swami, stay close to me, I think then we'll never ever going to feel lonely in our lives, isn't it? Maybe that can become a very interesting tag. STTS, stay close to Sai. I think that's what we got to do. STTS, stay close to Sai. If you're all the time close to Sai and we're all the time praying, Swami, stay close to me, stay close to me, you are never ever going to feel lonely in your life again. I remember how Bhagwan, whenever he used to speak to the students, he used to always say, God is your only true friend. Well, as a youngster, when you used to listen to Bhagwan say this, you know, you never thought too much about it. But only as you grow older and as you go through life, as more and more come into your people come into your life, and you see how different people react, how different people change, how different people behave differently on different occasions, that is when you realize, oh my God, the only person who does not change, the only person who is all the time there, who is permanent and who is always, what is more important is who is always eager to be with you, no matter what you are, no matter how you are, no matter how many mistakes you have made, the only one who wants to still be with you, who is committed to you, committed for your welfare all the time, is God. In fact, today is February 15th, 2018, and yesterday we had so many people the world over celebrating Feb 14th, the Valentine's Day, and I remember during my student days, in Bhagwan's college, on one Valentine Day, all of us, we made this beautiful sweet cards, on all heart-shaped cards, and we proudly showed it to Bhagwan as he came out for darshan. Swami saw all that, and you know, he gave that beautiful smile, that mysterious quizzical smile. So Valentine Day was for us the V-Day. It was the day of victory. We celebrated the victory that we have achieved. We celebrated the victory that we have Lord by our side. And that was such a powerful moment, such a memorable moment. You have the divine as your eternal Valentine. And if this is what our life is, then we will always be fine, isn't it? In fact, there's a very beautiful bhajan which exhorts us to build this relationship with Bhagwan, which echoes this feeling so beautifully. This bhajan is in Hindi. Let me play that for you, and then I will share with you the meaning of this bhajan. It's a very lovely bhajan. Bhagat Vatsalo Tero Naam.
Bhagat Vatsal Tero Naam O Sai. भगत वत्सल तेरो नाम ओ साई दुख भंजन तेरो नाम ओ साई दुख भंजन तेरो नाम ओ साई तुम संग बांधी प्रेम की डोरी तुम संग बांधी प्रेम की डोरी सुमिरन करूं तेरो नाम साई सुमिरन करूं तेरो नाम साई चित्तो धारणा भक्त परायणा पतितो धारणा भक्त परायणा परितीश्वर साईरा वचन तेरो नाम उचारी दुख भंजन तेरो नाम उचारी
सो भगत वत्सल तेरो नाम ओ साई दुख भंजन तेरो नाम भगत वत्सल मीन्स द वन हू इज ऑल द टाइम देयर फॉर द डिवोटीज हू melts for his devotees. In fact, if you read the article that we have put recently on the Radio Sai website, it talks about the Saint Manika Vasagar from Tamil Nadu. It talks about how the Saint Manika Vasagar melted into Shiva. It's a very beautiful story. If you have not read this, please do visit our website radiosai.org as an offering to Bhagwan on Shivaratri this year, 2018. We had this article on the website. So, Bhagat Vatsala Tero Naam, O Sai, you're the one who melts for the devotees. You're the one who removes all the suffering, Dukha Bhanjana Tero Naam. Then comes a beautiful line, Tum Sang Bandhi Prema Ki Dori. With you, we have tied that bond of love. With you, we have tied that string of love. We are bound by love, by this bond of love with you. Tum Sang Bandhi Prema ki dori, this thread of love is tied to you, Lord. Sumiran karu teru naam, and having tied this thread of love with you, having risen in love with you, we don't fall in love with God, we rise up in love with God. Sumiran karu teru naam, I sing, I think about you all the time, I sing your name all the time you're there in my mind. Patito dharana bhakta parayana, you're the one who absolves us of all our mistakes. Patito dharana bhakta parayana, who is all the time there for us. Paritishwara Sai Ram, and who is this one? He is the beautiful Lord Sai. So STS, stay close to Sai. That is what is the second R, rediscovering who our true friend is. And then we move on to the third R. So let's discuss this a little bit today. R is to re-engage with the world. Often we have seen that, you know, when people say that they have the Lord with them, you know, when people feel that, okay, I have my Swami with me, then I don't need to talk to anyone. I don't need to really engage with anyone else. You know, I have my God with me, so I can distance myself from the world. I don't need anyone. You become aloof. And then you don't talk to anyone, and then you don't interact with anyone. You're in the society, but you don't want to be in the society. You are so disconnected with everyone. And then, once you are in this frame of mind, unless you are really, really evolved, like the sages and saints, who were so deeply inside of them that they had the whole world inside of them, unless you are really that evolved, what happens is, again, you feel lonely. So we are again going back in circles, even though we have taken to spirituality, we have taken to God, but still we feel lonely because we have disconnected ourselves from society. We think society is not God. We think only what is that inside us is God. Swami says, Vesti, Shrishti, Parameshti, Vesti, then you have creation, Samasti, and then you have nature, that is Prakriti, and then you have Parameshti, Srishti. So it is Vesti, then society, Srishti, and then you have nature, Srishti, and then you have Vesti, Samasti, Srishti, Parameshti. That's what is the cosmic cycle, the cosmic chain of our living that Bhagwan talks about. So if we are disconnected from society, then clearly we will be distant from Swami because we are far from what Swami told all the time. We are far from love all, serve all. We can't practice love all, serve all if you are all the time distanced from society. We can't practice help ever, hurt never. If we are far from help ever, hurt never, how can we be close to Swami? Obviously, we will feel lonely again because we are distancing ourselves from God. So does it mean that we have to socialize? Does it mean that again we have to be so much engaged in society and that because that's when all our problems came, first of all? Does it mean that again we have to build relationships? We have to build friendships? We have to do things so that we are acceptable by this particular group, by this particular set of people? That may not be the perfect solution. Because once we again strive to do this, then we are getting attached to people. We are getting attached to a particular group. We are getting attached to a particular set of people. So that is not probably what is the ideal solution. Because once we get attached, then if the group is not there or if the group does not treat us the way we expect them, the group to treat us, then again we will feel emotionally isolated. If you are all the time seeking something from the group and the group does not live up to our own expectation of what we expect, then again we will feel emotionally isolated. Again we will feel lonely. So what is the solution? Well, we have to be in a society but not get attached to society. But at the same time, we have to be fully involved with society. I think that is what Swami wanted us to do when he said, hands in the society, head in the forest. We have to be completely, our hands should be in the society, but our head should be in the forest. Head should be with him. So we have to be, and that is what Swami was all the time, isn't it? If you look at Swami's life, he was so involved with society, isn't it? He was all the time spending time, energy to see how society can become better. How we can do something so that we all in the society will feel better. We can lead a little more happier lives. And there are so many who are doing this, inspired by Swami. There are so many who are inspired by higher ideals, by higher purpose in their life, and they are doing this. And so beautifully, if we just look around, we will find so many beautiful souls who are walking on this path, and they are doing it so impressively, so inspiringly. I remember meeting Mr. V. Kalyanam about 3-4 years ago. I remember calling to him one evening and I asked him, can I speak to Mr. Kalyanam? And you know, he was at that time 91 years old. Perhaps he is now 95. But the firmness in his voice, you know, took me by surprise, even though he was 91. He said, yes, Kalyanam speaking. And then I asked him, sir, when can I meet you, please? And he said, anytime, any day. You can meet me any day, but the only thing is, I'm available between 11 p.m. and 2 a.m. He said in that same stoic tone. I said, really? 11 p.m? Is that the visiting hours of a person? I thought I heard him wrong. I asked again, sir, are you sure it is 11 in the night? 11 in the night till 2 a.m. in the morning. Is that your visiting hours? He said, at all other times during the day, I am busy. These are my only visiting hours. I said, oh my God. Okay, I was actually more determined now to see him because I want to see who this person is and what is his life all about. And then I discovered that Mr. Kalyanam is one of those few people living in the world today who lives by Gandhi's ideals. I wanted to get in touch with him because I had come to know from Professor Venkatraman that he worked as the personal secretary of Mahatma Gandhiji during the last four critical years of the Mahatma, 1944 to 1948, and this is what prompted me to seek him out. But now I was more than eager to see him after this conversation on the phone, and I thought it would be really interesting to see this man in person. So I asked him, sir, can I not see you at any other time of the day, please? And he said, you can, but you know, I will not be free. I mean, you can hang around me if you wish to, you know, be with me, but I won't be able to give you exclusive time. I said, that's okay, sir. You know, I will just hang around you. I just want to see you. He said, okay, fine, you can come anytime then. So I thanked him, and you know, prepared for this trip to Chennai. So a few days later, I landed at 6:30 in the morning at the address he had given me. It was a flat in the second floor of a residential complex, and as I began climbing the staircase, I saw an aged sweeper in crisp white and white cleaning the steps of the staircase. And his back was towards me. He was coming down one step at a time after doing a meticulous job of removing all the dirt in the step ahead. I felt like greeting him. And as I did this, I asked him, "Do you know Mr. Kalyanam? Does he live in this building?" So this man stopped. He turned his bespectacled face my way and he said, "I am Kalyanam." And he didn't even look at me for more than a split second. He continued to work. I said, "Oh my God, but why are you doing this?" That was like an instantaneous, spontaneous exclamation. He said, "Why? What is wrong? I like it." He was just talking matter-of-factly, you know, without even lifting his head. I said, "You like sweeping? You like sweeping and mopping? That too at this age, 91? He said, "Yes, I like everything clean. I prefer to do it myself. I'm 91, but I've been doing this for 70 years now. I enjoy it. Also, this is what keeps me fit." I mean, yes, he was fitter than someone half his age, and that was obvious. Cleaning every corner of the entire staircase of that six-storied building would make even any 45-year-old person sick. And here was Mr. Kalyanam doing this every single morning. And this was just a preview. More surprises awaited me as I hanged around with him that day. I learned that his cleaning schedule starts much before anyone in Chennai is even awake. At 4 in the morning, he is on the road with a broomstick. I saw a picture of him doing this. So he cleans the entire stretch of the road in front of his apartment. And he mentioned this, you know, in a very nonchalant manner. He said, "You know, what is big deal about it? I like to do it." And after ensuring that his street is spick and span, then he takes a coffee break and then he begins to clean his building. And this keeps him busy for the next 2 hours. At 8 in the morning, he starts another operation. And this is gardening. In fact, the building is the only complex in that entire area with a picturesque and beautiful burst of flowers, thanks to Kalyanam. So till 11 in the morning, Mr. Kalyanam is extremely occupied inspecting each one of his hundreds of pots of various sizes and shapes, turning the mud, weeding, watering and so on. And then he returns to his room, he washes up, he has a refreshment and he's again ready for another round of tending to plants. And this time, he goes to the terrace. So he climbs 3 floors up. And on the way, he picks up tiny sacks that contain mud, manure and other materials. And there, now he is mighty happy with his little lady's fingers, shiny and cute tomatoes, round little brinjals, fresh and green spinach, round long beans. Oh my God, he is so happy with his family. He says, "This is my kitchen garden." So proudly he shares, he says, "I eat whatever I grow here." That's it. And I literally watch him doing this. After working tirelessly for 2 hours, from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 in the afternoon, he comes down with a few ladies' fingers, tomatoes and greens in his hands, and the next half hour goes into cooking a very simple meal with those veggies and of course little rice, dal and ghee. He says ghee is very, very good for health. So by 2 p.m., he's done with his lunch, a very simple lunch. He just puts all this in pressure cooker and once it's done, he just, you know, makes a khichdi out of it and that's it. And then he has rice with curds. And after a sumptuous lunch, he's on his massage chair as he reads the newspaper and soon he slips into a siesta. And that is only for 10 minutes. Exactly after 10 minutes, clock precision, he wakes up. He says, "Now I'm fresh." And he's smiling, he's really fresh. It's almost as if he's had a deep sleep for over 4 hours or 5 hours. He's back with full energy. And then his daily routine now next involves sweeping and dusting of his 2 rooms and all the furniture there. He lives alone. His daughter lives in an adjacent apartment, but he looks after the cleaning of his entire room. And by the time he's done with his chore, it is time for him to go out for some appointment or the other and then attend numerous correspondence that he receives daily. On freer days, he visits an orphanage that he has adopted. 90% of his pension goes to various charities. And once he returns, then he prepares his dinner again himself. By 8 p.m. he's front of the television. For him, television is important because as a freedom fighter, he wants to catch what is happening in Indian political theater. So he watches very meticulously. He has his favorite talk shows all about what is happening with the country and what are the leaders doing. So he catches up with everything what is happening in Indian's democratic profile. And then it is time for his second siesta. So again, it is just a 10-15 minute lap late in the night, and I'm there watching him, and he says, you know what, siestas are so effective, they are so refreshing, you don't need to sleep for hours. He has made this his habit, just 4-5 siestas a day, and that is all the sleep that he needs for his entire day to keep him fresh. So that is when he gets free after he has watched his favorite television talk shows about India and the current affairs. So from 11:30 p.m. to 2:30 in the morning, he says that is when he is relatively free. And that is when, as I told you, I got my appointment. And I asked him, sir, what inspires you to lead such an exemplary and outstanding life? You know, he didn't even think he was doing anything extraordinary or outstanding. In fact, if you see, if you visit his home in Chennai, on the board says, you are visiting the house of the best sweeper in the world. That is what the note on his house door says. He comes from a system where he has seen the English who were so particular about cleanliness, and he has lived with Gandhiji who was so particular about doing your own things and being self-reliant, and he doesn't think sweeping is anything demeaning. He knows what is dignity of labor. And I asked him, sir, what is great? I mean, how can you be like this? And he says, nothing, I just lead a simple life. What is the big deal about it? I'm not doing anything great. He said, this is what I learned from Gandhiji. You know, Gandhiji was not born to a well-to-do family. I mean, he was, he could have led a life with a lot of money, but he wanted to identify himself with the masses. He didn't want to lead a lavish life, and that is the reason why he sacrificed everything. There was only one garment of cloth on his body. He identified himself completely with the people. He didn't want to enjoy anything that was denied to the majority. And that is the reason why he didn't even wear an upper garment. He said, see, that is how he set an example, and I have seen him, I have lived with him. And what I am trying to do is just follow a little of what Gandhiji was. When I heard him, the thought that came to me is, he's so inspired by Gandhiji. And imagine us, we have seen one who inspired Gandhiji. Gandhiji all the time was chanting, Hey Ram, Hey Ram. In fact, that is what he chanted, and he gave up the last breath. In his last breath, he chanted, Hey Ram. So Gandhiji was inspired by the one who is the source of this universe. We have been touched by the one who inspired Gandhiji. We have seen Swami who led such a simple life. We have seen Swami how his room was always just that six feet by 8 feet. That was his room. There was only that one bed. That's it. And one cupboard where there were a couple of robes. In fact, even that gold button that Swami was wearing, it was broken from inside. For 14 years, Swami had that same button. Swami never asked anyone for anything. If he asked any time, it was only for love. People gave him stuff, and he would not accept, but many times he would accept because he didn't want to disappoint people, and then he would again give it away to someone else. Only people who have seen Swami at close quarters know how simple his life was. He hardly used to eat anything. By the time you chant Brahmarpanam, we have If you have been with Bhagwan in Kodaikanal, or if you have been with Bhagwan during the dining sessions, you would have seen he will just take two slices of chapati, or the ragi roti actually, the chapati made of ragi, and he would, by the time you chant Brahmarpanam, he's finished his lunch, he's finished his dinner, and then he will move about, and he'll ask others to eat well, he would ask the people who are serving to serve this item or that item to other person, but as far as his meal is concerned, it is just those one or two morsels of food, one or two spoonfuls of food, that's all Swami had. I mean, if you have seen Swami, if you have seen the articles that Swami used to write for Sanatana Sarathi, all these Vahini series, you would see that in that entire page, he would not leave as much space even for an ant to crawl. That is how particular Swami was, not to waste resources. When it comes, don't waste time, don't waste energy, don't waste money. And you have lived, we have seen Swami live that principle day in and day out. And that's the reason why Swami said, my life is my message. I mean, he was so involved in society. That's what we are discussing now. R is to re-engage with the world. Re-engage in seeing how you can be useful to society. If you're all the time thinking, how can I make the society a better place? How can I, through this little being, through this breath that God has given me, how can I make someone else's breaths better? How can I make someone else's smiles brighter? Then we will never have a day of loneliness in our life. The other day I was reading a very beautiful story which came in a national newspaper in India. There is this person by name N.M. Pushpa. She's 30 years old, and in just 10 years, in the last 10 years, she has written 657 examinations. You might wonder, what are these examinations? 657 examinations in 10 years. And these are examinations for a bank job, examinations to get into a college, examinations to get into a particular institution for a job, examinations to clear the 10th class, 12th class. She's written all these examinations. She has been the writing hand, the listening ear, and the reading eye for so many disabled persons. She is from Bangalore. She has been a scribe for a visually impaired child and for mentally challenged persons. She started this in 2007 when a blind child was looking for a scribe. And after she helped that child and she saw what difference it made to that child, she thought, oh my God, this is such a beautiful thing to do. And after that, she has helped numerous children, people who have Down syndrome, people who have cerebral palsy. And she says, this is quite an interesting job. It's a challenging job also, because you have to be calm. Sometimes the candidate can be very tensed. Sometimes you have to read the question maybe 30 times, 40 times. You have to repeat, because the person may not get it, because they're all mentally challenged children, but you have to be there very calm, and you have to be that support and help them to pass that test, and that is your test. And she says, it's my passion to write for others, to make someone else's life brighter. For so many, finding a scribe is not easy, and she has filled that gap. There are so many gaps like that that are to be filled in our society. If you just look around, we will find so many places where we can get involved. There are no dearth of opportunities for us to get involved. Even if we don't have resources, the least we can do is just give our time, give ourselves. I know of this, sometime back I saw this video of a very senior person who has made his life's mission to every day go to the hospital and just be with some newborn babies or little infants, you know, infants who don't have a mother or who don't have their parents or caretaker to give them much time. So he just goes and he just babysits them. So he just goes and takes a baby onto his lap and just keeps patting the baby, keeps singing to the baby. That is what he does every single day. He says, this is what gives me so much happiness, because that baby feels so loved as I'm petting that baby, as I'm caring for that. You know, there is so much love exchange that is happening. So he is so happy that his life is finding so much meaning from what we receive, we experience a sense of happiness. But from what we give, we experience the essence of happiness. And this is what people are discovering. This is what is enabling people not to feel lonely. Why will we ever feel lonely when we have so many opportunities to get involved in society and get involved in such beautiful ways? You know, you get involved in ways where you are leaving a lasting impression in society, where what you are doing is changing lives. You are creating lives. The other day, I met a Gujarati couple. They are from the United Kingdom. Many years ago, before they wanted to get their son married, they thought that, you know, we should do something different. And so they had this idea to get some poor children married, poor marriageable children. They wanted to perform 9 such weddings before they do the wedding of their son. And so they came to Puttaparthi, and in one of these neighboring villages, they found, with the help of a few people to help them, they found these 9 couples who were waiting to get married. And so they got them married, and that was such a beautiful function, such a lovely moment for them. You know, they were so fulfilled that the next year they wanted to do more, and slowly the numbers grew. So from 9 it became 18, and then it became 30, then it next year it became 40, and in the last few years they have been doing like 80-90 weddings. Every year they come to Prashantalayam from the United Kingdom. They stay here for months and they organize this whole effort where from so many surrounding villages, they look for people who don't have the resources to perform the wedding. And here you have so many for whom a marriage is a huge burden. They don't have the resources to organize. You know, they go into debts because the farmers here are so much dependent on rain, so many dependent on so many other factors beyond them to make their living. And they do this wedding. And now, in fact, they have been thinking of doing it twice a year because there are so many people who are waiting for this chance to start a new life. And it is such a grand occasion, and they do it so majestically. I mean, it almost feels like the wedding of a very rich person. That's how everything, the stage is decorated, there are band, there is music, and they gift the couple also with all the materials that are needed to start a new life. And seeing their passion, there are so many people who have joined hands with them. So it is a huge festival which happens in the Dharamshala, which is on the way to Super Speciality Hospital. And this couple, they have been doing it with so much of love, so much of inspiration, so much of energy, and so much of joy. Why will they ever feel lonely, even if they are getting older now? And the greatest example, I would say, is Sir Abdul Kalam. Again, someone who has spent so much of himself for the nation. He had everything in his world to have everything that the material world can provide. But his focus was, I have to make a difference. I have to get involved in nation building. I have to get involved in making society the better place. I have to get involved in creating enlightened minds out of today's boys and girls. And there are so many books written by Kalam. If you have read Ignited Minds, if you have read Wings of Fire, if you have read the books written by Srijan Pal Singh, who lived with Professor with Abdul Kalam in the last 5-6 years, there's one very beautiful book called What Can I Give? Every chapter of this book you read, you know how involved he was with society. Why will he ever feel lonely in his life? He will never, because he is all the time in the society for the better of the society. He's completely involved. There is no free time. There is no time to feel lonely. And even if we don't have resources, we can do very, very simple things. We can pray for others. We can just smile. We can just go out and share joy. Just lend your shoulder to someone. And that will remove any emptiness within us and also remove the emptiness which is there in someone else. So this is the third R, re-engage with the world. If we say that we have befriended God, if you have realized that happiness is within, then we should be the one who are all the time smiling and who are deeply engaged in the world, just how Bhagwan led his life. And that will take us finally to the R, the final R, to revel and relish in the bliss of solitude. That's where the sages were in that state, isn't it? The sages, even if they were in deep meditation, they were constantly doing it only for the welfare of the world. They never had any selfish agenda. That is the reason why they were all the time in bliss. All the experiments that are happening in the world outside today, the sages just went inside and they were able to discover that the human body has whatever these million thousand chemicals, all the knowledge that we have about modern science. You, when you go to Charaka Samhita, when you go to the Atharvan Veda, you can find out. And all this is there because it has come to them because they were so deeply involved in the welfare of the world. So that is finally to revel and relish in the bliss of solitude. So that is a journey. That is a solo journey, loneliness to solitude. As I said, the 4 hours, first is to realize the happiness within, realize the source of happiness, where it is, rediscover who your true friend is. The third hour, re-engage with the world, and finally you will revel and relish in the bliss of solitude. That is a very beautiful, that is the way to celebrate our lives. That is the way we will never ever feel lonely. That is the way we will all the time feel connected. I'm reminded of this very beautiful song, you know, Jyoti se Jyoti Jalate Chalo, Prem Ki Ganga Bahate Chalo. If this is our mission, to all the time light this lamp of love in hearts, in million hearts, in thousands, do it one heart at a time. If this is our goal, then we are all the time, we have no time to feel lonely. We will all the time only be in bliss. We will experience the joy of living in God, with God, for God, in joy, in bliss, all the time. Let me leave you with this beautiful song, Jyoti se Jyoti Jagate Chalo. And as I leave, Brothers Prem and Arvind will take over for afternoon satsang. Dear listeners, thank you so much for being with me through this very beautiful journey. And please do share your thoughts on this program. If you have any, there could be many more ideas on how to deal with this topic. Please share your thoughts. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. If you want to write something personally to me, you can write to Bishu, B-I-S-H-U, Bishu@radiosai.org. I look forward to your comments and to your feedback. Let's together make this world a beautiful place. Thank you so much. Sairam.
A single story of His infinite glory, captured through divine discourses, music, bhajans, and through Vedas, talk shows, interviews, panel discussion, and study circles. All brought to you live from the epicenter of our times, Prashanthi Nilayam, India. Radio Sai Thursday Live.